trust you had a really good and safe Memorial Day holiday week. If you took the whole week off, you had a few days last weekend. You sure had some pretty good weather. It turned a little soggy on us, at least while we were up in the mountains trout fishing. Speaking of that, I really didn't have a couple of days to take off, but I did because it's tradition. You know, we've got three generations in this group we go trout fishing with every year, and this year was fun as always. And you know, the camp squaw, he did a good job cooking. I got beat fishing by an 11-year-old or 12-year-old, I guess, trout fishing. I tried to stay true to the fly fishing thing, but it just wasn't happening. I don't know what was wrong with me this year. I got kind of a bum shoulder, so I got a little excuse, but good time. I am a convert. I have bought a hammock to sleep in now. And if you read the reviews that say they're comfortable, they're not lying to you. That was one of the best nights of camping I've ever had. I even got kind of warm in there. I wasn't even inside my sleeping bag. Got kind of warm inside, just had to open the covers up. And kudos to the young man up at Sunrush Adventures that helped me pick it out. He had a great piece of advice. I didn't buy an insect fly. I just didn't think I needed one. And he told me, he said, I did not buy an Eno. I think it's a mountain trunk. And he said, the stuff sack is attached. He said, when I get in, he said, I fold one side over. I put a water bottle in the stuff sack holder, and I flip it over, and it just wraps you up. I mean, it was really neat. The funny thing about it was, of course, I guess we had four age groups on this camping trip, hiking trip, trout fishing trip. Of course, the youngest one, boy, he loved it. His uncle, who was there, he liked it. Of course, I loved it. My older brother loved it. But the old patriarch of the group, nope, he was not having any of it. I guess at some point you get to an age that it's just nothing new you're going to try. But he even accused me of, now you're going to go out and buy a kayak. He said, those hammock and kayaks just kind of go together. And 2 minutes later, we were all talking about kayak in the Broad River for smallmouths, and he was all in it. So, you know, I think part of that's just you just being the old crotchety stereotype. But we had a great time. And if you got out this week, I know you had a pretty good time too. This is Roger Metz. You're listening to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I'd like to welcome you to the show today. You can listen right there on your FM dial at 94.5. You can go to the Conservative Talk 94.5 website. Click the Listen Live link on the right side of the page. You can download the free Conservative Talk 94.5 app for your phone or tablet. We got a web page. We got a Facebook page. We're on Instagram. The Facebook page is, of course, / Woods and Water SC. And we're getting close to 1,000 likes here. I've never pumped getting those likes. I've never asked for them. If you're on Facebook, head over to the Woods and Water South Carolina page. Take a look at it if you like it. Literally, if you like it, you can hit the like button, whatever the hell that happened. On Instagram, it's # Woods and Water SC Radio. Website, of course, woodsandwatersc.com. And that's where you can go every week. If you can't catch it live, you can go over to the website and catch the weekly podcast. You usually have those up Tuesday, Wednesday, the next week. And let's see, the hammock. Oh, yeah, the hammock was great. The other thing, and I don't get paid for this, and I put up a post on the Facebook site. I don't get paid for this, but there's a, back when the Bassmasters Classic was here, Andy Montgomery, of course, I rode, if you were listening back in February, Andy was out on Lake Hartwell pre-fishing when he heard me talking about riding with him during practice, and he had called in to the show. We had a good time with that. I rode with him on Wednesday. One of his major sponsors is Farm Defeat Socks. And when I was at the expo, I went by the Farm Defeat booth, talked to the guys. They were like, oh, Wayne, you rode with Anthony, with Andy. Did he give you any socks? I'm like, no. And he goes, well, here, he had me like a box of socks. And he said, take these. I said, I'll give them away. He goes, all the better. Give them away. Make sure you keep a pair for yourself. So I did. At the live weigh-in at Bonds Courts, gave a bunch away at the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic down in Columbia. And I kept a pair for myself. And this is twice now this has happened. The first time was when I was cruising timber with the logger, the buyer, forester, whoever you want to say he is. And then while we were camping, I actually wore those things for almost 2 days. Never took them off. And my feet were so comfortable. didn't sweat, I didn't ride down, and my feet didn't really smell all that bad once I took them off. So if you're starting to get into the hiking part of this year, right now is a great time to go. You know, look at them. Farm to feed. They're 100% American made. In other words, the sheep, the feed, the labor, it's all right here in the United States. Pretty cool company. Hope you check them out. And with that, we'll get to the calendar events for this week. Didn't have one last weekend, so we're going to catch a few more than we normally do this time around. So bear with me and hope you can find something. And as always, this is just a place to start. There are so many websites and so much outdoor events, activities, things you can do. This is just a place to get you started. And I know school is getting out here last week, this week, and Department of Natural Resources, if you're headed to Myrtle Beach, they have a fishing rodeo for you. Horry County, it's the Collins Land Stock Pond. That's behind the Dunkin' Donuts off Highway 501. It's Saturday the 6th from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. You need to bring your own bait and gear. They're going to have gifts and prizes. They get bass, brim, and catfish. You got to be accompanied by an adult, but the adult cannot fish. Actually, on this one, it says adults fish with kids. Interesting. So they do have a limit. Pre-registration preferred. You can go to the Department of Natural Resources website. That's dnr.sc.gov/aquatic-ed/rodeos. I just Google it. You can find it. But anyway, head to the beach. Perfect way to get your summer started off at a fishing rodeo. South Carolina, the Upstate Friends of the NRA is having their banquet Saturday, June the 6th at 5:30. That's at the Anderson Civic Center, Anderson, South Carolina. Your contact's Lester Brock. You can go to the NRA website, look at events in your state, and find it. And you can even purchase tickets online there. 30 for a regular, 50 for a couple. If you want a whole table, $250. Saluda River Rally, June 6th and 7th. This is Dolly Cooper Park in Powdersville. Revolving paddle trips from the South Carolina Kayak Fishing Clubs. 2.6 miles, approximately 1 hour by kayak or 2 hours by tube. The Saluda River Rafting Adventures is 8 miles, approximately 3.5 hours. Must have your own boat. Shorten your wait time, bring your own kayak, canoes, and tubes. Don't have a local boat or tube? Grady's Great Outdoors and Anderson County Parks will provide kayaks for free use during the event Saturday. Saluda River Rafting Adventures will provide tubes and inflatable kayaks for free use during the event Saturday. You got to sign in at Dolly Cooper Park. And they got bluegrass music, food vendors, outdoor exhibitions while at the park. Sunday, a single launch paddle trip from Dolly Cooper Sports Complex to 117 Piedmont Highway in the town of Piedmont. It's 9 miles, approximately 3 hours. Bring your own. Free shuttles are available. Sunday rally wrap up, 4 to 7 p.m. Free barbecue provided by Saluda River Grill, bluegrass by Edgar Loudermilk. And there's a limited number of camping spots. Again, you can go to the Anderson County website and find that event. It's time for barbecue season again, and right here in Malden, South Carolina, June the 6th and the 7th, we've got the Hejaz Shrine Temple Barbecue Cook-Off. That's 200 Ranch Road down in Malden, South Carolina. You can go down there for a one-time charge. I think it's $10. You can get a little wristband that lets you sample barbecue from whoever's down there cooking. This is the one I went to last year. One of the ones I went to. This is Mike Horn's event. He's the master judge who was in here when we did the barbecue set on Woods and Water. This is his event, or he's the master judge, and it's a good one. They know how to cook barbecue. Boy, those people are good. I got an email from a friend of mine. If you could plug the Saluda River Archery Club Summer Camp. It's going to be held at the outdoor range with each camp lasting 1 week for the entire month of June. The actual dates are June the 8th through the 12th, 15th through the 19th, 22nd to the 26th, June 29th, July 3rd. They're going to have archery instructions, but Larry's going to be down there doing primitive skills, bow drill, fire starting, flint napping, blowgun skills, and more. DNR will be there too. Check them out, www.saludariverarchery.com. There's the music. Got a few more items to go, so hang with us through the break. Back on the other side. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. You know, I prefer my stones to be up in the mountains where I don't have any cell phone coverage. Because if I can, it's an addiction. It is. It is. Anyway, Joey Hudson, our station manager, I guess, here just is obviously listening to the show, and he said, same socks for 2 days. Yeah, Joey, you know, there's no use to take them off because it's raining up there. And, you know, yeah, same socks for 2 days. That's what happens when you go off, Joey. You ought to try it sometimes. You just forget about being clean, and it's pretty pretty neat feeling. Anyway, back to the calendar events. Clemson Extension Office. This is great. They've got some good things going on this summer. I picked up these two off of it. One of them's a little far away. It's a day camp over in Florence, South Carolina, exploring the PD waterways. You know somebody over that way or listen here in Greenville over the weekend, listening, headed back that way, know somebody with kids over that way, let them know. Learn about PD watersheds, study water pollution, and get up close and personal with fish and aquatic critters. Learn how to kayak, take a trip down Lynch's River. We'll swim, learn to fish, go wild about water. 5-day action-packed day camp is open to youth between the ages of 9 and 14 from Florence and the surrounding counties. Register for that. Costs $125. You can find that at the Clemson Extension Office. There's one for every county. So if you pick through these, you can find some really good ones. The other one, Exploring Lowcountry Waterways, 4-H-2-O Summer Camp, is ages 10 to 13. Clemson Extension 4-H-2-O is a water-based science camp giving kids the opportunity to explore South Carolina's rich waterways, learn about water quality, and the importance of healthy ecosystems. It's a part of the Exploring Lowcountry Waterways Camp. Berkeley, Charleston, Dorchester area campers participate in beach exploration, kayaking, water quality testing, fishing, birding, and unique experiences to foster greater stewardship of our shared natural resources. That's Clemson Extension. Some pretty good stuff there. From the South Carolina State Parks website, Night Hike, Wedgefield, South Carolina. This is going to be at Poinsett State Park. Join us in the field at the campground for a ranger-led night hike. You'll discover how human eyes work in the dark as we do fun experiments and search for nocturnal creatures. Hike is easy, less than a mile. Be fun for ages 5 and up. You should wear closed-toed shoes. Go to State Park's website to find more information. That's June the 13th, 8:30 p.m. to 10 p.m. Bring a flashlight, bug repellent, and water. Glendale Outdoor Leadership, and I've got to get them back on here to talk about their summer day camps, but I picked it up. Summer Adventure Camp, fun-filled active camps expose kids to all the outdoor recreation we have to offer, including rock climbing, mountain biking, hiking, kayaking, and more. Environmental education combined with art, history, and exploring our natural surroundings. It all takes place right over here in Glendale, South Carolina. The first session, June 15th through the 19th. Second session, July 20th through the 24th. Good day camp if you're around and just want to get your kids out in nature without losing them all week. And their goal over there, as Carrie likes to tell me, is to send those kids home tired, which is a good thing. And that's the calendar. I'll put those up on the Facebook page. You can check them out there, have the date, the event, the place, date, where it's going to happen. But always check those things before you go just to make sure that for some reason they haven't been canceled, especially weather. Got some good segments coming up after the half hour break. We're going to go to a segment with Palmetto Conservation Alliance talking about National Trails Day on June the 6th. And then a surprise little segment, the last segment of the show, about the Fly Fishing Museum of the Southern Appalachians. And so I'm going to switch it up a little bit and just go through some little short news stories here, some things that might interest you, might not. From the Outdoor Wire, biologists ask that young wildlife be left alone. You know, right now you've got does are having their fawns, you've got birds that are hatching their little chicks, little bunny rabbits running around. Leave it alone. Spring is sprung. With spring comes newborn wildlife. Should you encounter a young fawn or hatchling bird in your backyard or on your next adventure, wildlife biologists say it's best to leave these newborns alone. Many times these young animals only appear to be alone. An adult is typically nearby and will return when your perceived threat passes. Other times, spring storms blow nesting birds and squirrels from nests. While these animals may seem to be distressed, an adult animal will often find and care for them. As difficult as it can be, sometimes the best help we can offer young wildlife is to leave them alone and let nature run its course. While leaving these young animals alone is the best course of action, wildlife rehabilitators across the state will take in injured wildlife. We have the Wildlife Center in Columbia, South Carolina. We have the Birds of Prey Center down in Awandaw. And I know there's several veterinarians around the town, around the state, who will, you can take them to their office and they will make sure they get to the right place. So, and the reason I bring this up is because there was an internet fight, but somebody posted a picture of a young fawn and he had taken it to his local veterinarian because it was lost. Well, it really wasn't. Does will stash those little fawns in places that you and I would think would be, you know, right beside your house in your flower bed or something like that. That's because they know they're safe there. A predator's not going to come through your yard looking for a fawn. They're safe. And a lot of times that mother's coming back in the dark. They're not alone. It's just how they protect them when they're that young. A few weeks ago, we were up in Louisville, Kentucky for the National Deer Alliance Quality Deer Management Association conventions. Also there at the same time, boy, it was like, you know, knocking three balls out of the park because we had the National Archery and School Program National Championships. And our own upstate Hurricanes went to Nationals. They did very well. I've got their results. We're June the 2nd, which is Tuesday. They'll know if they get drawn for Worlds, which will be in Knoxville, Tennessee. I think that's right. But just to give you an idea of how big National Archery and School is, from Prince of Wales, Alaska to Washington, D.C., students, archers, coaches, friends, and family descended upon Louisville, Kentucky's Exposition Center May 6th through the 9th. I actually saw a team from Bethel, Alaska. And I don't think you can drive to Bethel, Alaska. I think you have to fly from somewhere in eastern Alaska to Bethel, Alaska, or take a snowmobile or a sled dog trip. But it was pretty cool to see a team from that far away. Three-day competition, 12,000 archers from 763 schools in 42 states surpassed the NASH 2014 world record of 10,400 archers, 15% increase. One world record in 3 days wasn't enough for these 4th through 12th grade students. Once they shot in the bullseye competition, 2,841 of them made their way over to the 3D challenge contest, also reset the world 3D record, which had long standing at 2,450 archers. So I'm telling you, there's some summer NASH programs out there. Conditioning programs, introduction to archery programs. You heard the Saluter of Archery, archery camps. This is a big thing. It is growing. I won't get into the details. I'll save those for when they find out about the world competitions. And instead, I want to go to something that kind of make you just scratch your head. Wow, where does this stuff come from? Boy Scouts of America bans water gun fights. Pointing a firearm is not kind. The Boy Scouts of America, an organization with semi-military origins, has put out approved activities for its members, and water gun fights are strictly prohibited. Just let that sink in for a minute. A blog for the organization's leaders said May 6th that pointing simulated firearms at people is not allowed. Why the rule? A scouter once told me this explanation I like quite a bit. A scout is kind. What part of pointing a firearm, simulated or otherwise, at someone is kind? I just don't get it. A water gun, really? The problem is they try to protect these kids from everything, not exposing them to anything, and they don't know that some things have consequences, some things don't. So they think everything is bad, and it's not. I mean, how many pools are you going to take your kids to this summer? And the first thing they're going to do is big out those big, you know, 4-foot-long pump-action water guns that will shoot 60 feet. Those are great. I mean, I have them. I got some at home. I love them. If you're fed up with the Boy Scouts, there is a alternative. It's called Trail Life USA. In fact, Trail Life USA is based right down here in Belton, South Carolina. And I guarantee you they'll probably let you have all the water gun fights you want to have. So anyway, just something that just makes you scratch your head and wonder how far are we going to go in protecting our kids for anything that seems bad. Look, expose them to this stuff. Let them know that shooting a real gun has a consequence. Then let them go have a water gun fight. You get wet, it's fun. I had read a few of these things with summer coming on from Dr. Scott Sampson. He has a book, How to Raise a Wild Child, The Art and Science of Falling in Love with Nature. And I had a couple of these things I read, but the complete list of 10 little points that he had out there is out. Make new habits. Take time to discover the varieties of wild or semi-wild nature close to your home and explore these places with your children. Most children have no problem engaging with their natural surroundings. Their curious minds are just built that way. Older children who have established a bias toward electronic screens may take a little more coaxing. This is where grown-ups need to exercise some imagination and even foster a trickster mentality. Rather than telling the children that they need to go outside because it's good for them, think about them, encouraging them to play games like tag and kick the can, anything outside. The key here is to establish nature as the fun and preferred option for playtime. Open senses and expanded awareness. Play with deer eyes and owl. Deer ears and owl eyes. Deer have amazing hearing thanks in part to their very large ears, which capture the faintest of sounds. Try having children or adults cup their hands behind their ears and listen. Ask them to figure out the most distant sound they can hear and the total number of distant sounds they can identify. Similarly, owls have amazing eyesight. Invite kids to soften their vision so they can see as much as possible in multiple directions. What's the most distant thing they can see? On subsequent visits outdoors, pause once in a while to remind kids to use their deer eyes and owl eyes. Anyway, just a couple of those things. There's 10 of them. I'll get to the rest of them on a future show. But get your kids outside this summer and go with them. Don't just kick them out the door. Go out there with them. Make it fun for the whole family. Anyway, got National Trails Day after the break, and then fly fishing after that. Hang on.
Conservative Talk, 94.5.
And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Thanks for holding through the break, through the music. Last week, we talked a little bit about something coming up June the 16th called National Trails Day. I also told you I would have somebody on who knew more about it than I did. And we are lucky enough to have Mary Rowe from the Palmetto Conservation Organization on the line with us. Mary, how are you doing today?
I am great today, Roger, and yourself?
I'm doing well, doing well. I really appreciate you coming on. And actually, we're going to cover more than just National Trail Days. You're going to tell us all about the Palmetto Conservation and the Palmetto Trail and what all y'all do down there. So just, first of all, why don't you give us who you are and a little bit about the Palmetto Conservation Alliance.
Okay. I'm actually the Director of Programs and Development for the Palmetto Conservation Foundation. You know, we've been around for over 20 years, and our signature project is the Palmetto Trail, which is South Carolina's premier trail that starts in Oconee County in the mountains and goes all the way to Onondaga on the coast. We currently have about 350 miles of connected trail system. We are working on an additional 100-plus miles to connect. And when we're all done, Roger, we'll be one of 16 through-state hiking trails in the country.
Wow. Now, percentage-wise, how complete is the trail right now?
Right now, it's about a little over 75%, 80% of the trails completed. Recently, we received some tremendous financial support from Boeing.
Right.
That money allowed us to develop a master plan. That master plan now identifies some reroutes in the areas that we don't have connection, how to connect them. And so we hope to really have this trail finished within the next 8 years. We really have momentum, and now we have this master plan serving as a guide for us.
There you go. And that trailhead actually ends right there at Buck Hall Recreation
Area. It does. Actually, it ends right there in Buck Hall. You can camp there. The Onondaga Passage right now is one of the passages you want to be on. It's getting a little warm down there. But let me tell you, it's fantastic in the fall and into the winter months, because that passage goes along the intercoastal waterway, and you just see some magnificent things relative to wildlife and so on down there.
Yeah, right now you have to deal with the Lowcountry Air Force if you go down there.
Yeah. And actually, you know, we have a great partnership. Part of that trail goes through the Francis Marion National Forest.
Right.
And they are doing some prescribed burns down there. So it's time to head up to the the up country and do some of our passages up the Blue Wall and up above Spartanburg and on into Oconee.
Now part of you and what we've had some of your other folks from GOALS, the Glendale Outdoor
right.
Leadership Program, we've had them on before. How do you interact with Glendale?
Well, you know, that is a part of the Palmetto Conservation Foundation. We're sort of the mother of
okay.
GOALS and the trail. And that is just a tremendous little facility in Glendale. We have a high rope course, a low rope course, and we've been very active in the development of some of the Blue Way trails in that
right.
Spartanburg area.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, we are now getting calls to really become sort of that outdoor outfitter. People want to rent kayaks from us. We have, as you know, we have some great staff up there that
yes.
are trained in, you know, wilderness survival.
Yes, Jay.
Mm-hmm. So, we're really happy to have that presence in the upstate.
Well, it's been a good one for this show. I've had both Jay and Carrie on to talk about not only
yep.
the day camps they've got, but Jay talking about the wilderness survival course he teaches.
Yep.
And we had him on.
And that facility, Roger, can be rented out if there's a corporation or some team building exercises. Let me tell you, you get some of your coworkers working together on that high rope course, become real good friends.
I bet you better become real good friends. Well, your mission is pretty much to encourage outdoor activity through, and from your website, preserve Revolutionary War battlefields, the greenways, the Palmetto Trail, and that is in lockstep with what Woods and Water South Yard is all about. And I hope from here on we can work a little closer together. Maybe do a segment where we have just a favorite passage of the
mm-hmm.
Palmetto
yeah.
Trail, maybe a month or something like that. That'd be great for both of us, I think.
That would be great, and I think for your listeners, we can really describe the experience, whether it be hiking or on the water. And that really is our goal. You know, people that are really familiar with the outdoors, they know the Palmetto Trail, but we want the rest of South Carolina to know about the trail. You know, they might not be comfortable coming out in the woods and so on, and we want to make that experience positive. Our trails go from easy to a little more difficult. We offer membership hikes every month. We offer lady hikes every month. We're really trying to get people out to experience the great outdoors.
Now, you mentioned membership hikes. What is yeah. membership in the Palmetto Conservation Alliance? What is that?
Well, we think we offer some very affordable membership levels. We obviously have a student level beginning at $35. An individual would be $50. And if you're a family of four, it's only $100. And, I mean, after that, we do events every month. We just finished up down here with another good local partner, The Backpacker. We offered a Camping 101 class with them. And so those participants, the final class will be actually at National Trails Day.
Okay.
And that's a member event. So is the Camping 101 class. And so they really get, you know, a lot of actual training in some ways, how to camp, how to backpack. We're all about the great outdoors, just like you.
Good. Okay, National Trails Day. What is National Trails Day here in South Carolina? What is it, or nationally, what is it?
Well, National Trails Day, actually, is the American Hiking Society's day of celebrating the nation's, you know, tremendous 200,000 miles of trail system. So for us locally in South Carolina, because we, you know, cover the whole state, we are having three National Trail Day celebrations. Up in Croft State Park, some of our trails go through that park, and we'll have a day of hikes and mountain biking, and only in Croft, they have equine trails, so there'll be some equine opportunities.
Okay.
And then the participants can stay the night, and that mirrors the same thing at Poinsett State Park. We won't have equine, but we'll have kayaking and some paddleboarding. They offer that at that state park. We've got night hikes. We have storytellers, and everybody camps out. And the nice thing also to our members is, we provide all the food.
Oh,
and
wow.
We provide a lot of opportunity. If you're not, maybe you just hike and never really camp, we'll help you set up that campsite. We have lots of Boy Scouts on hand. And so it's a real day of just coming out, celebrating these great trails that are free. I mean, once you become a member, you don't have to pay anything. You can just go on and enjoy 350 miles of trail. So we're really excited here in South Carolina to be part of this national event.
And we had three locations. We got Croft, we had Poinsett, and what was the third one?
The last one is just a morning hike down in the Ondot Passage, which we already touched upon. It's a little warm, so we're just going to do a nature hike down there. It's only really a two-hour experience because it just gets so warm. But we really did want to have a presence statewide.
And you told me the other day if you had a fourth person in that office, there'd be another one somewhere else, right?
It would be right up there in Oconee. You got it.
Okay. So. What, I was actually, over the Memorial Day, I was up on the Chattooga River, I guess you could call it, doing my hiking, camping, trout fishing combination couple of days.
Oh, good for you.
And where up through there is the Palmetto Trail? And we were at Burles Ford, mostly because we're a bunch of old guys and we want to be able to get to the river pretty quickly.
Okay.
Where up there does the Palmetto Trail come through?
Well, you know, right now that's the area that we're working on the most,
okay?
Because we have what we're doing is actually part of the trail up there. We will have to connect in with the Foothills Trail,
okay? All right,
and then continue on, and we have a nice partnership with them to be able to do so. So, you know, we as I said, we're up in Oconee. We go through Cassie Gorge. We go through Poinsett. Some of Poinsett needs to be still connected, and then we go, you know, there's parts of Landrum and down into Spartanburg, and then below there we have Glen Springs and Blackstock, and then we enter into Henry at the Sumter National Forest.
And not
so,
too, go ahead,
yeah,
I'm
go
sorry,
ahead.
go ahead.
Well, and then we have a little break. There's a section in Newberry that we're working on that we have to connect. So, you know, the longest part of the trail actually is from Ondaw all the way to Watery. That
okay.
is the longest continuous route.
What's your favorite part of the trail right now?
Oh, right now, you know, I just led a membership hike actually in Ennery.
Okay.
And it was really terrific. I have to say that we didn't bump into one other person, and. There is a part of Ennery that's called the Beaver Pond, and actually, you're just transformed into this area that's just wet and cattails, and it's so quiet and beautiful. So right now, I'm loving Ennery right now.
Okay. And that'll change depending on where you go next time because you'll love it too.
It certainly does. And how wonderful is that I can, you know, have all of those opportunities to.
Yeah.
Change my mind.
That is exactly right. And folks, if you want to know more about the conservation organization itself, the National Trails Day, give us your website, how they can, you have is the email list free? I assume so, because I get it.
Okay. Well, basically, we have a newsletter.
Right.
And if you'd like to receive that each month, all we need is your email address. We don't really inundate you with a lot of communication. We try to put it out once a month. And that's our greatest resource. We certainly participate in Facebook. That's another great opportunity daily to find out what might be going on. And we also self-promote other things that go on nationally relative to trails and so on. So we hope we're just not a resource here in South Carolina, but we promote other trail systems in other states. So those are the two best ways of finding out about us.
Okay.
Right now, National Trails Day, you can go on our website, www.palmettoconservation.org. We have a link there to National Trails Day. You can sign up. You can become a member right there. It leads you through the process. It's quite easy. And other than that, you know, you can also access on our website all of our trail maps.
Yep.
Okay, so if someone's going out and it's a Sunday, and we're not in our office, you can go right on that website, click on trail, and download that trail map.
Very nice. Well, Mary, I appreciate you coming on today. Look forward to
My
working.
Pleasure.
Look forward to working with you more in the future.
We look forward to that also, and thanks, and hopefully you and I will see each other on the trail soon.
There we go, Mary. Thank you very much, and have a good day.
You too, Roger. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Had a good segment coming up here for the fly fishermen out there. And I love to fly fish. I was up on the Chattooga River this past weekend. It was a good experience. It rained on us most of the time. Of course, it makes a lot of weather up there on its own. And I won't tell you how many fish I caught, lost, in that big brown trout that I'd really love to have taken a picture of. But anyway, we got Alan Baker on the phone with us right now. Alan and I met at the Fly Fishing Expo up in Asheville, North Carolina last fall. And Alan has done something that's really cool if you're a fly fisherman. So, Alan, why don't you tell us who you are and what you got going on with the Fly Fishing Museum of the Southern Appalachians?
Okay. Well, I'm Alan Baker. I've been in Trout Unlimited most of my career and have volunteered a lot. And I fly fish, been fly fishing from back in the 80s. And I kept hearing all these stories about anglers of the past in the Southern Appalachians that did things like they created the sheep fly, for example. And at some point, you know, you need to do something about that. And so we decided we needed a museum. They've got nice museums up in the Northeast, and we need the same thing. So
okay.
we decided we need one down here.
And so you just got together with some of your friends and said, let's do this.
Well, I wish it would have been that easy.
I talked about how easy that was.
Yeah, I went to a lot of places and talked to people, and some people thought I was a little on the crazy side to be wanting to do something like that. But I sent an email to the Cherokee Chamber of Commerce looking for someone to talk to with the Eastern Band Tribe, and they were very interested in helping get a museum started in Cherokee. And it's the perfect location. It's near the Smokies. A lot of our heritage around Southern Appalachian fly fishing is right there between Bryson City and Gatlinburg, literally.
Right.
And so we started back around 2013, getting established, setting up a board, all the things you do to start a company. And we were almost at a point where we could get open.
You there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Kind of faded out there for just a second.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, keep going. Keep going. I just want to make sure you're still there.
So at this point, we hope to have enough exhibits on hand that when someone comes, it keeps their interest. And as they see what we've done and what we plan to do next, certainly come back and see us over and over again.
And you're located in Cherokee, North Carolina.
Yes, we're right beside the visitor center. The Cherokee Visitor Center has the large solar panels, and we're the building next door.
What are some of that? Now, you've got a grand opening coming up here. That was kind of what tipped us off. June the 6th, which is next Saturday, 10 o'clock in the morning, going to be your grand opening, something that's 2 years in the making for you?
Absolutely. We will go through the kind of the ribbon cutting type thing. We have a catered lunch coming in for those that attend. We hope to fill up the parking lot and give everyone a tour of the museum. And after lunch, we have five expert casters available to do a casting clinic for anyone that wants to do that. They're next to the museum. And Casting for Hope, which is a nonprofit organization that gives back by helping women recovering from ovarian cancer. They're doing a fishing tournament on Sunday, and they'll be doing registrations that afternoon.
Okay. Yeah, I saw that Casting Hope with the registration on June 7th, and I wonder what that was about, so I'm glad you went into that one. Tell us a little bit about what is in the exhibit part of the museum.
Well, in some ways, it's what you would expect. Old rods and reels and the gear that we use for fly fishing. What's really nice is we have some old bamboo rods that date back to 1875, 1890.
Wow. Area,
which a lot of people don't see things like that.
No.
And we have some reels in about that same period, 1890s. Very often something like that was like steel, and now it's a rusty
reel.
If it's been exposed to anything.
Right.
But now, one special exhibit we have, Ray Bergman was a famous author of the book titled Trout, of all titles. The book was first published in 1935, and it was full of color plates of wet flies and dry flies. Actually, dry flies were fairly new to everybody back then, but had been around. And that became the Bible for a lot of people, particularly in the Southern Appalachians. They get a hold of that book, and you know, there's a color plate of the fly and a recipe in the book, and you know, it's all about fly fishing, just about every aspect of fly fishing. And so a lot of people have read this book. I think it's been republished. I think I got the fifth copy, fifth edition, back in 1980.
Wow.
But we have his personal Leonard bamboo fly rod that was donated. And we have a first edition book signed by Ray Burton.
Boy, that's kind of neat.
I think he passed away in like 67.
My goodness. And that's all donated by people?
Yes, this was donated by a relative. Most of the rods and reels have been donated. We do have some that are on loan.
Okay.
That, you know, have special significance of time period. And we're just now starting. So, you know, you can imagine a few years from now how things will look.
Yes.
We're displaying a lot of Southern Appalachian flies, but we're just starting on that. There's hundreds of patterns that I know about, and we've probably just, you know, just dented the surface of those.
Yeah. Every time you open the next book on trout fishing, whether there's something you haven't seen before, and you're like,
absolutely,
oh, I got to go get one of those too.
And being, you know, a lot of people in the guide business, one of their, you know, signature trademarks is to invent a fly.
That's right.
So their customers get all excited about something that has, you know, you have a lot of confidence in.
Right.
And so there's a lot of creation still occurring. And, you know, we've got to catch up with the past, and we'll probably be doing things with newer flies that have been created in Southern Appalachia.
Well, I see here you're going to have Children's Corner with Scavenger Hunts. You got Demo Corner with Temple Fork Outfitters. Casting for Hope is going to be there with Airbent on Sunday. Sounds like a great time.
Well, we certainly hope so. We've worked hard to make it, you know, a very complete museum day one. The Tennessee Valley Authority has sponsored the drift boat exhibit. Now, this drift boat is very special. It was built in a cabinet shop in Georgia. So this is not one someone bought and shipped from Oregon or somewhere. It's a McKenzie-style drift boat. And the neat thing about this is it was still being used until a month or so ago.
Really?
By the owner that built it. He was one of the very first that started guiding in the southeast. We think we know who the first person was. We certainly have the story that we have right now.
Okay.
Ronnie Hall, as we understood it, was the first one. And then Captain Gary Taylor, we believe, was the second guide on rivers. But that's the first drift boat that was built here. And it's a wooden McKenzie-style boat.
Yep.
And it was being used up until a month or so ago. The last trip on that boat was our fundraising trip for November. Someone bought it, too. And it's kind of like the last voyage of the boat. And we've had to help Captain Gary replace his boat because that's what he does for a living. So they did not, he and his wife, Wanda, were not, you might say, real excited about parting with
I was fixing to say.
The old boat.
Yeah, it's got to be a little bittersweet for them.
Well, I tell them they can come visit anytime.
Anytime. Okay. Well, Alan, from talking to you back at the expo and the vision of what you had coming, it sounds like you've gotten pretty doggone close just from the get-go, just from the opening of the whole thing, and I really wish you luck with it. I won't be up there on the 6th, but I will get up this year soon.
Well, it's been amazing. Anglers, you know, you see all these anglers coming to the fly fishing shows. Well, there's probably 400 anglers that have been following this closely and supportive, and the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians have been very supportive and helped us get a building there and everything. And, like, you know, Tennessee Valley Authority has stepped up to sponsor the drift boat exhibit and everything. So we couldn't ask for better. You know, the museum belongs to all the anglers and people that's
Well, very good. Well, I appreciate you taking time out of your day to be here with us. I'll let you know when I'm coming up there. Maybe we can meet up there.
That'll be great.
All right. Thanks, Alan. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
I hope you enjoyed those two segments. I know when we recorded that last one, we recorded the ending music. Of course, we don't have it about 60, 90 seconds to go now, so it was close enough, but I had to hang around to close out the show, and not often do I go across that line just to our north here for another state, but when it comes to fly fishing, I will, because we have some here, but they've got a lot up there. And if you like to fly fish in North Carolina, June 6th, which is next Saturday, the delayed harvest trout waters change over to have at it, which is always fun to watch. So get out there and fish. One more thing I wanted, the Dr. Scott Sampson, one more thing, he had free play rules, which I think is great. Carve out some regular time for children in your life to engage in unstructured play with a portion of it outdoors. Unstructured here means free play without adult guidance or supervision. Encourage kids to create their own imaginative games and activities, preferably using readily available natural elements. Loose parts like water, sticks, dirts, and rocks. And hey, it's over for another week. Chuck, for this week, real quick. The sun got Chuck burned. Hey, get out there. Be careful. Take the back roads when you can. Don't forget the camera. Have a good week, and I'll be here next Saturday. See you then.